I'm going to tell you a story about a day when my friend and I had a life-altering experience. It started out as the third worst day of our lives. The worst being that horrible Friday when Jesus, our friend, the one we called Messiah, was crucified on the cross. The sorrow we felt was unspeakable. Only tears and cries. How could this be? But the morning after, that Saturday was hauntingly still. It was as if the world was silenced. No one, nothing stirred. Then on the third day, on Sunday, we heard a crazy rumor. Christ is risen. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the woman proclaimed, panting, their eyes ablaze and voices trembling. Risen? How could this be? Then the woman told this ridiculous story that two men in dazzling white stood beside the tomb and asked them this: why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not there. He is risen. Remember how he told you while you were still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified and on the third day raised again. Could we really take the testimony of these women seriously? Foul play, I suspected. Our master's body must have been stolen, or the woman mistaken by the hysteria-induced hallucinations. I just couldn't understand it. The turn of events felt like it was turning the world upside down. How we loved him. Have you ever lost somebody you loved? The pain never really goes away. Death has such a sting. Our hearts were broken, our hopes dashed. You see, Jesus was like no one I had ever seen before. Meeting Jesus changed me. It really changed me. He changed me. I've never met someone so full of God's Spirit, someone so in sync with God's will, someone so close to the Father's heart. Jesus liked to call God Father. It was as if they were one and the same. Meeting Jesus felt like meeting God. Whenever Jesus spoke and acted, even actually when he rested, I felt like I was encountering God incarnate, love and truth in human flesh. How my hurt burned, my heart burned whenever he taught. He taught scriptures like no other, astounding religious authorities, amazing the masses. Now, around Jesus grew a devoted band of followers, a motley crew, if you will, of men and women, the crippled and the blind, sinners and tax collectors, people of every stripe who fell in love with Jesus. He was the one, he was the anointed one, the Messiah, we said. He was the one who would save us from the grips of Roman occupation, we thought. He was the one promised by the prophets of scriptures we read. He was the one who would lead our people to be an elect and holy nation among the nations, we prayed. He was the one who would establish God's reign here on earth, one like David, but this time it would last, we earnestly hoped. But it almost seemed like Jesus was headed toward the cross, his face intent and turned toward Jerusalem. That cross, that horrible, hope-destroying, humiliating cross, just a week prior, crowds were waving palm branches and putting down their cloaks as Jesus rode on a colt, entering Jerusalem, and we cried out with such joy, such elation, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This King, this blessed King, is dead. Is not a dead Messiah a false Messiah? Oh, how we believed he was our dream come true, but is not a dead dream a false dream? It's with these heavy thoughts and with heavy feet and hearts, my companion and I slogged along the road to Emmaus. That 7-mile journey felt so long. We walked talking about everything that transpired, trying to understand Jesus' death and that crazy story of his resurrection from every conceivable angle. You know how it is when you try to make sense, when you try to find a reason, any reason to understand that which you can't. Completely absorbed in our own conversation, in our own heartbreak, we didn't notice a fellow traveler walking alongside until he approached us and asked us, what are we talking about? I stopped in my tracks. What are we talking about? Who is this guy? Where has he been? Doesn't he know what has just happened to Jesus? Has this guy been in a cave or something? So incredulous, I asked, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened during the last few days? This stranger looked at me, completely at a loss, and said, what happened? To tell you the truth, I found his question quite therapeutic. Recounting the events allowed us to give voice to our grief, and we fumbled and put together an answer. We said, you know, the things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Still no flinch. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. We had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. And now some of our women are completely confusing us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back and told the story that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he was alive. Peter and some of our friends ran to the tomb to check if it was true, and it was right. He wasn't there. But they didn't see him. We haven't seen him. And until we see him, we can't believe it's true. How can it be true? Then this man began explaining how it could be true. This stranger made the strange things seem familiar. Well, first he reprimanded us for being thick-headed and slow-hearted, but then thereafter he explained that what happened to Jesus had to happen according to the prophets. He patiently walked us through the books of Moses and the prophets and taught us in a way and reminded me of somebody I knew. I couldn't put my finger on it. But I was intrigued. I didn't want him to stop talking. I hung onto every word. Then, that 7-mile long road and journey felt too short. We were at the edge of Emmaus, and this stranger was walking ahead of us, and we stopped and we begged him. We said, please stay with us. The sun is setting and it is about to be dark. Join us for dinner. And he said, yes. It was odd, but it was almost as if this stranger was at home in our house the moment we invited him into it. It was as if he were the host and we his guests. When we sat down for supper, I said, please bless the meal. And then something remarkable happened. Our guest, our host, he took the bread. And he held it up heavenward and blessed it and gave thanks, candlelight flickering through the holes in his wrists. And at that very moment, we recognized him. We realized that we had seen this man before. I heard this voice before. I had eaten this very meal before on that night that Jesus was betrayed, the Passover meal. When he took the loaf of bread and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to us, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant made in my blood." Lord, it's you. But before he could answer, before I could run to embrace him, he vanished before my very eyes. It was at the meal that our eyes were opened. It was in this meal that we encountered the risen Christ. His body broken and blood poured out for us, but also risen for us. It had been him all along, but I didn't see. I didn't know. I was so wrapped up in my despair and hopelessness that I didn't see living hope standing right before my very eyes. My friend and I said, weren't our hearts on fire within as he conversed with us, as he opened up and revealed the scriptures to us? But now that we had seen him, conviction, clarity, and courage came crashing forward. We knew what we had to do and wanted to get to it right away. We got up and ran those 7 miles back to Jerusalem. You see, we had to tell the others, the 11, and the rest of the disciples. We had to speak life and joy and truth into their despair. Christos Anasti, Alethinos Anasti. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Friends, we need to come alongside one another, as my companion and I did on that road to Emmaus. We cannot brave our despair, our doubt, and disillusionment alone. But without seeing Jesus, we are the blind leading the blind. We need Jesus to see Jesus. We need to see the risen Jesus to make sense of that cross, that wonderful cross. We need to have conversations with Jesus. We need to have Jesus open the Word of God to us by the power of the Holy Spirit so we can see him as he really is, not who we want him to be or want to make him out to be. Do you know this Jesus? Do you want to? Ask him in. Invite him to take up residence in your life and ask him questions. But most of all, ask him to reveal yourself to him, because worship comes from seeing him for who he really is. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Do you recognize Jesus alongside you? Do you recognize and welcome him as a stranger in your midst? I remember him saying, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." What do you see in the face of a literal stranger? In the face of a refugee seeking compassion and refuge? In the face of someone who lives so differently from you? In the face of someone whose views and ideas contrast so vastly from yours? In the face of those closest to home, but estranged from your heart, your father, your mother, your wife, your husband, your sister, your brother, even some of those in this room? See, when we love and serve the other, we aren't serving this abstract idea or concept or an unknown person. We are loving and serving a person whom Jesus loves, a person Jesus died for, rose again for, and will come again for. We're actually loving and serving Jesus himself. Christ is risen, amen? But don't take my word for it. I heard it once said that the proof of God, that Jesus, that, but the proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of his transformed disciples. The crowning evidence that he lives is not a vacant grave, but the spirit-filled fellowship. Not a rolled-away stone, but a carried-away church. The risen Christ is present not just in my story and what happened one history-making Sunday morning. No, the risen Christ is present right here, right now. Do you feel like a slave to sin? Honestly, do you feel like the very thing you want to do is not what you do, but the very thing you hate to do is what you do? Sin keeps tripping you up. You want to live an honest life and make an honest wage. You want to have godly, life-giving, healthy relationships. You want to be holy and obedient. You want to serve God with all your heart and mind, but you're pulled by the influence of sin so that you ended up doing something totally contrary to that. Is this you? If it is, I have news for you. You have an answer. God, you see, went for the jugular when he sent his son. He didn't deal with the problem of sin and death as something remote or unimportant. No, in his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition. And oh, the human condition is so depraved, is it not? He entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. Can I get an amen? Amen. You have been delivered from a dead life. And with God's Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. Not relating to you? Are you weighed down by despair and fear? We fear so many things, don't we? We fear what other people think of us. We fear failure. We fear the unknown. We fear whether God will be faithful. We fear whether he can really save a wretch like us. We walk more in fear than by faith. The Lord knows this about us. The most frequent command the Lord gave wasn't be good or avoid this or that. No, it was do not be afraid. Do not fear. Are you deeply discouraged and disillusioned from the forces of sin and death at work in the world? Live as if Christ is risen, because he is. See yourself not as a passive spectator, but as an active partner with God in transforming despair into hope, apathy into compassion, hate into love, death into new life. Every time you do this, every time you practice the resurrection and you proclaim and bear witness to the power and presence of God, Jesus was big into mealtime. I don't think it was the food as much as it was the fellowship. He loved eating with others, and he ate with a lot of people, people you wouldn't like, some you might approve. He had big, big parties, 5,000 guests at times. And then he had these small, intimate dinners with sinners and tax collectors. Oh, how that pissed off the holy religious ones. And yet he even ate with them too. No one was excluded from Jesus' table. So friends, I invite you to come to the Lord's table this day. For some of you, it's been a long time. We're glad you're here. For some of you, it's your first time. For others, it's a meal that shapes your mission. But whoever you are, I invite you to come. We encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of bread, but it's not just any bread. It's the bread that Jesus takes, blesses, and breaks, and gives to us. communion. The meal half done, he tore a loaf and he filled a cup. And he blessed them both. Then he spoke of bread and flesh, of blood and wine, four elements by miracle intertwined. He gave himself for us, he said. He died and rise, no longer dead. And then would come his kingly reign. He made his death a vow so plain, our hearts refused to understand. This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood, poured out to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat, drink, live. Let's pray. Today, Lord, may we, like Cleopas and his companion, recognize that you are alive. Would you open the eyes of our hearts that we may see and know and love and tell about you? As we eat this bread and drink this cup, help us proclaim and practice your death and resurrection. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. It is a risen Christ who invites you to his sacred communion table. So come.
That was a good word, yeah? Let's give it up for Pastor Jeanette. You know, there's something about giving space to allow ourselves to re-enter that story. This is our story, isn't it? This is our song. Most of us, having been ignorant or unawake until God himself showed up to us and set us free from our slumber. The beautiful part of that story for me was that it was through a meal that he decides to reveal himself. It was through a moment of hosting and relating that he decides to reveal himself. It's through love, a loving gesture, that the disciples are awakened and they see their Lord. This is what I get for us when I hear that word for us today. It's time for us to reveal Christ to our world. If Jesus really rose again, if Jesus is alive, if Jesus hosted you and showed himself to you, he frees you from eating alone. And he frees you from eating with people that look just like you. He frees you. He frees you to host and break bread with people not like you. And in doing so, Christ is revealed through you and your love for people. And in that time of hosting, people will see that God is alive. That someone so different, someone so unlike them, would take the time to be with them, would take the time to witness to them, would take the time to show God's love to them. You see, the success of this Sunday, you know, if I can just be really real with you guys, Easter and these kind of holidays really, really bother me. Because to me, the church often in the West, we use it as a gimmick to fill the church. And it saddens me. Because to me, Jesus is alive every single day. And every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. To me, we've made it about us. To me, we've made it about our security that we come. To me, we're like Cleopas running away from Jerusalem, trying to figure out how best to now live in the light of failure, in the light of things not having come true. But the resurrection frees us from that. The resurrection frees us from that fear. Can I get an amen? And so you know what the success of Resurrection Sunday for me is today? It's not that we packed our church with new folks and try to get our church growing or you know, the Christianity known. It's like a holiday for the whole nation, and it's our chance as Christians to kind of be like, kind of declare our faith. Like, Jesus is alive, and it's kind of our desperate attempt to, you know, tell our colleagues and our people around us that we're Christians. No. The success of Resurrection Sunday is if we had that meal with the Lord that was so real that we would actually go and host our world. That we would become like Christ, hosting, setting aside time, and loving people. No amen for that. So what do you want? Do you guys want a great Resurrection Sunday for today? Oh, it's so beautiful. The decorations are great. Everybody got dressed up. What a great word. Do you want that? Or do you want to say, today was so real for me. I saw Jesus in that communion that I'm ready now to make space for the hurting, the lonely, the sinners, the ugly, the shameful, the broken in my life. Until that happens, it ain't Resurrection Sunday. So if you're in and you want that, you want that meal with the Lord like Cleopas, I want you to stand with me. I'm going to worship the Lord. And we're going to end today with praise. And then we're going to walk out of here with the living God in our hearts, getting ready to host and love our world. Come on, church. Let's worship. Father, we say that meal is very real for us. We see you breaking the bread again. We see you giving us the wine. We see the holes in your wrist. We believe, Father, we believe. Oh God, you set us free. You set us free from living, hiding all the time. God, you've broken the chains over our lives. And no more are we called to huddle in fear, things not working out, our messiahs in our life having failed. But we see Jesus in this meal. We see you alive and well. And now we hear you calling us, calling out of that meal into the world, because you are alive and you want to have some meals with your people. So God, I pray from this day on that Echo Church will take seriously the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, so much so that God, that you will not find us huddled, you will not find us scared, you will not find us just tending to our little lives, but we will live broad, open, adventurous lives. Send us out of this house. Send us out of this house. Send us out so we can go around telling others that Jesus is alive. That Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive and well. Send us out, Lord. Yes. Come on, church. If that's you, I want you to place your hand over your heart. Tell the Lord, I'm Cleopas today, and And Lord, as much as I love you and your ministry, I need you to break that bread for me. I need it to be so real today that you'll find me running out and telling people about you. Come on, church, let them know right now. This is my prayer that I prayed when I was 16 years old. If you are real and alive, I need you to show me. Right now, ask him, Holy Spirit, show us right now how real and alive you are. Break the fear, break the chain right now over this church. No more playing church. No more huddled in a room. Oh, just breaking bread with people that look like us. Oh God, we apologize for living in fear as if you did not rise from the dead. Send us out, send us out, send us out of this room. Bold, bold. Right now, Lord, more, more, more. Right now, if that's you, I want you to ask the Lord, now send me from this place. Who do you want me to go to and say Jesus is alive? I tell you, if you're brave enough, ask him right now. If you're brave enough, ask him. Tell him, I want you to make me an evangelist. I want you to make me an evangelist like the woman who were telling the disciples they were alive, and like Cleopas and his friend who had to say, Jesus is alive. I want you to tell him, make me that person now. No more hiding, guys. No more us having nice meals by ourselves. Send us out. Yes. That's right. There it is, Lord. More. Make us bold. 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 Yes. Resurrection, Lord. We believe in your resurrection. Yes, Lord. So I was supposed to come up and give announcements. The announcement is that there's food in the back. Sorry, I got so pumped by Pastor Jeanette's word. I just love the Bible. They say there was more running in those few chapters than in the entire gospel. More people are running around. There's so much fear, and then there was so much joy. Something is alive and happening. The movement of God starting because of the resurrection of the Son. I tell you, church, we cannot be satisfied with our huddles. If Jesus is alive, we're gonna break free and go into our world and tell them about Jesus. The success of this church is not the growth of this church. It's the proclamation of God in our own worlds. Got to get there. Okay, I have another announcement. Sign up for home groups. He told me to say this. If you're not part of home groups, sign up for home groups, okay? Am I forgetting any other thing? Oh, I got to bless you now. Just place your hand over your heart. I'm going to do a benediction. I'm going to do the long one today because it's Easter. Close your eyes with me. If I may, I'd like to do two of them. Because I think in the light of today, this makes sense more. May the Lord bless you. May he cause you to prosper richly this week in every good spiritual gift there is in Christ Jesus. May he watch over, guard, and protect you and all whom you love. May his countenance be upon you. His face be turned toward you. Such that you will see in Jesus how very much he loves you and how very much he loves those in your life, accepts you right where you are, and invites you to follow him. May he be gracious unto you. May you sense his favor, mercy, and goodness as you walk with him this week. May the Lord grant you peace. May you be at rest and centered in Jesus, who is our Lord, and through him we ask these things. And remember, your gatherings, they're proclamations, guys. Your meals, a symbol of the resistance. Your conversations, the undoing of the colonized mind. Practice your spiritual gifts, for they are signs of the kingdom come, the kingdom of our living Christ. And sing to the Lord without fear. Sing to the Lord without fear, because his perfect love has defeated the cross of Rome. And declare with the saints all over the world and in history that Jesus, that Jesus, that Jesus, not Caesar, not Caesar, not Caesar, is king. Jesus is king. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen. Let's give a shout to the Lord.